Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Stephen Myers as we talk about his thoughts and theories of the Great Pyramid. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Stephen Myers with us. We'll take your phone calls as well here on Coast to Coast. Could we get the pyramid up and pumping today, Stephen?
Well, no, it's a historical artifact, and there's no use getting it operational again. Much of the main problem with the Great Pyramid water pump is that there was something went wrong inside the King's Chamber, and it has been damaged from within.
Ah.
The chamber itself has been kind of expanded. Other people have discussed that, I'm sure, about some explosion or whatever.
Or a fire or something, yeah.
Fire or something, but I believe that it was a malfunction during the pumping process that damaged that chamber. The ceiling stones are broken, that type of thing. But our foundation wants to redevelop this ancient technology using modern materials, not stone or anything, but just passages would be replaced with pipes and chambers with polypropylene, vessels type of thing. And, certainly make it a little smaller scale than the Great Pyramid. And it would provide an alternative to hydroelectric pumped water or water pumped with gasoline engines, that type of thing. So it's not just academic, but we want to develop this ancient lost technology to that's clean and environmentally friendly to have an alternative for people to be able to pump water. And the two main purposes of pumped water is to irrigate, and we would also use it to generate electricity. So there's more information about that on our website. We do have one funding opportunity right now. It's we're trying to use crowdfunding to acquire a 3D printer. We're about halfway there. So if anyone is interested in being involved in that, they can find out about it at our website at thepump.org.
Now, how did they pump the water to the population at that time? Or would people just go show up and, take a couple buckets full and off they went?
Well, like I say, Herodotus spoke about an artificial duct that he saw connected to the Great Pyramid. So that it either went into a passage in the bedrock on the Giza Plateau to the point of use, but also there's some unusual excavations right near, 30 feet from the Great Pyramid, some large square holes in the ground, if you will.
Huh.
And we think that they may have had a industrial purpose, possibly to for compressed air that they could have used to power machinery, that type of thing. Paris, before electrification, had a network of compressed air pipes that people would use to run fans and small-scale machinery and that type of thing.
Very innovative.
And we think that the ancient builders used compressed air, among other things, to use the water. So the Giza Plateau at one time was more like a science center and industrial site, certainly more so than some sort of a funeral facility.
Might it be used to develop cold fusion?
Actually, that's a possibility. They could have used the pumped water for creating high voltage static electricity. They could have been involved in cold fusion. All we have is just a small remnant, the Great Pyramid, as a remnant of what that civilization was like. But who knows what medical discoveries they had, what they knew about physics, and other things. So I think it was a high civilization, possibly before the last catastrophe. And, much of the technology was lost. We just have to use the direct physical evidence of the Great Pyramid to at least understand how that building that infrastructure was used. So
how would you compare them, Stephen, with us today in terms of technological advancement? Where would you put them next to us?
I would say that some things, they were farther ahead of us.
Wow.
It's difficult to understand. Other things, probably not. But probably their lifestyle of those people that built the Great Pyramid was had a high lifestyle. You know, it's not just about economics or that type of thing.
Yeah.
But they probably didn't have plastic and a whole bunch of other things like we do. So they did things differently. They did things kind of like Nikola Tesla. You know, he wanted to develop this wireless energy system that didn't have a meter to charge people, if you will. And the Great Pyramid is like an energy system because they use the pump water to power machinery, yet it doesn't have a meter system to charge people. So I think in terms of quality of life, I think it was very high compared to us, but they had different technology than we have. We've gotten ourselves into this energy technology that's polluting the environment, geopolitical issues. It's a transfer of wealth from the West to the East by buying oil and that type of thing. So the original builders, they didn't do all of that. They were above those things.
All right, let's go to the phones now as they begin to line up here for you. Stephen, we'll go to Robert in Colorado Springs, first-time caller. Hey, Robert, good morning.
Good morning.
Gotcha.
Stephen, George.
Good to have
you
with us. Sure thing. The platform is yours, Robert. Go ahead.
Well, I was in Egypt with a gentleman, Mustafa El Rakabawi, a businessman, and when I arrived, they said, our workers from the factory have built this bed for you, and it was virgin cotton, and I meditated. I meditated in Colorado, California. They said, this bed is virgin, and what happened was I had a bolt of light go down through my spine, and it was light. And I met with his attorneys on getting a project worked on that I had, an invention. And in that meeting with the attorneys, I was sitting there going, I'm the only one here. I should have someone with me. And I thought, just meditate. And there was light came into the room. And the attorney and the translator said, there's light in this room. And I said, well, that's how we're going to work together. So I started understanding that how you build a pyramid, you have everybody focus light. And the light was the energy that I picked up that was natural. And if you get a bunch of workers together, a bunch of focused persons of all kinds of workability, whether they're feeding, whether they're carrying, and they all meditate in the same mode, light can move as we heat our buildings with light.
What do you think of that, Stephen?
Well, it sounds excellent. It's a wonderful idea. I hope it's accompanied with some demonstrations. That would be wonderful.
Stephen?
Certainly. I have a friend that has he's a long-haul trucker, and he would sure like that. It would save him a lot of money on fuel.
Oh, sure would.
So I hope you can develop that idea and, change the world.
Thanks, Robert. Stephen, if you're wrong, I'll put that in quotes, if you're wrong, what would be the next possibility of how you think the pyramids were built and what they might be for?
The second most likely?
Uh-huh.
I've got all my chips on this one.
You do. You're all in on this one, huh?
I'm all in. Some people say it was some sort of a weapon and other people say that it was a tomb, that type of thing.
I also heard it was an earthquake stabilizer.
I'm all in on water pump.
Have you heard that? That it was an earthquake stabilizer?
I've heard that. Yes, I have.
Yeah.
And that's interesting to think about. Certainly, we still have earthquakes now, and the pyramids are there, so I don't know. I don't know how the passages and chambers would be helpful in eliminating earthquakes in the Great Pyramid, so I don't know.
How close is the Sphinx from the Great Pyramid?
Well, quite close. Certainly hundreds of feet. I mean, it's just within walking distance. And very close, the Sphinx is.
I mean, Edgar Cayce, the old prophet, talked about a hall of records at the foot of the Sphinx down below. And they did find, with some sonograms, some kind of chamber down there.
Yes, some sort of anomaly. I hope that research is continuing on that and that the results of that research is made available to the general public. So we'll see.
Yeah.
That area, the Giza Plateau, gives up its secrets very slowly.
I bet it does. There must be so much still under the sands there. My gosh.
Oh, that's for sure.
Well, they talked about at the pyramids that there's an inverted base of what like could be another pyramid upside down. What is that all about?
Well, it's at this point, there's speculation about that. There's speculation that there is also a second Sphinx somewhere in the area, various unknown passages, chambers, hall of records, and that type of thing. But a lot of that is in the realm of speculation, without really scientific results like photographs and that type of thing. So the Giza Plateau produces as much mystery as it does enlightenment.
Let's go to Elena in Roanoke, Virginia, east of the Rockies. Good morning, Elena. Go ahead.
Hi. I love your water pump theory, but I'd like to add to it if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
The Great Pyramid was not only a water pump, but a desalinization machine. The reason I say this is the Egyptologist, what is his name, Zarit Sahar?
Zahi Hawass.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm terrible at that. But he stated in one of his television programs that there was salt inside the Great Pyramid on the walls. Now, if you'll take a look at the chambers, the stair chambers, they're very steep, and the pyramids inside are very hot. You put seawater, painstakingly put seawater in there, it's going to rise to the top, drain down into other chambers, and be fresh water. If you want to be a god in the eyes of your people as Pharaoh, you bring them fresh water during times of drought.
Interesting take. Stephen, your reaction to that?
That is interesting. Certainly, there's a profound link between water and the Great Pyramid.
Yeah.
And there's a host of researchers with various ideas that associate water with the Great Pyramid. One of those is the idea that it purified water in not just only pumping water. So, yeah, I think that's quite interesting.
Thanks, Elena. Good to have you with us, and love that feedback. Let's go to William in Madison, Wisconsin. Hello, William.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. By the way, go to Don Siegelman show. Look that up, Siegelman, and contribute to him. They want to create a film. Two questions.
All right.
How was hydrogen made to produce the energy? And two, were the people and civilization that built the Great Pyramid dumbed down, I apologize if I have to use that word, by allowing entry or invasion by interesting people from the Sudan or elsewhere?
All right. How'd they make the hydrogen? How'd they get the hydrogen, Stephen?
Well, there's scholarly debate. Christopher Dunn, for example, who believes the Great Pyramid was a machine, thinks that hydrogen was produced using a chemical reaction. I myself feel that the Great Pyramid in the Grand Gallery, which had water in it, used electrolysis. And the purpose of that, of hydrogen in the Great Pyramid, had different purposes, considering different researchers. So I would suggest that you read my book and find out the details, but electrolysis is how I think it was produced. And as for people coming down from the Sudan or whatever,
invading,
that's,
yeah,
beyond the scope, that's beyond the scope of my research. My research isn't about people, but about how a building was assembled, if you will. So I can't answer that question.
I like the fact, Stephen, that you're still open-minded about the possibility of extraterrestrial assistance.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, the reason why I am...
Zahi never was, by the way.
Oh, yeah, no. No, but the reason why I am is because the Great Pyramid exhibits such high technology from very ancient times. And where, and then the first question is, where did that technology come from? Possibly from extraterrestrial sources. And there's nothing wrong with that. It could also have been somebody like Nikola Tesla or Victor Schrauberger type of guy who just happened to be a genius. You know, it could have been from one guy who figured this all out. So, but yes, it certainly could have been extraterrestrial and that type of thing. So it's, you know, the mysteries are not limited in any way, certainly.
What if it's a time machine?
Could be. I'll tell you. They say the Great Pyramid. You know, man fears time, and time fears the Great Pyramid. But I think the Great Pyramid should fear ISIS, because there's a lot of people that use the Great Pyramid for religious purposes. They go inside and
oh my God, yeah,
wear,
you're,
you know,
right,
gowns and chant and that type of thing.
Didn't they have a massacre ISIS out there years ago?
Not at the Great Pyramid. There was some tourists that were attacked in the 90s. That's quite a while ago now.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you know, it's spooky times over there.
It sure is.
Using the Great Pyramid for religious purposes, I think that's not a wise thing to do.
All right, Stephen, we're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls. All information about what Stephen has done, they're on his website, thepump.org, thepump.org, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. He's got a couple books out there, including a DVD, and he's developing a project to raise some funds for the Pharaoh's Pump Foundation. You can get that information at his website as well. That is, again, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Back in a moment with final calls. Don't touch your dial. Welcome back. Stephen Myers with us. We'll get to your final phone calls here in a second. Incredible work, Stephen, that you've done. How many members of your team? Is it you, or do you have other people?
Oh, no. We have a board of directors and a number of co-researchers, if you will, and well-wishers, advisors on both about the Great Pyramid, but also on issues with the organization, you know, legal issues and funding issues and that type of thing. So there's, we don't really have a newsletter or anything, but there's guys that we're networked with around the world. So there's, oh, I don't know, a couple of hundred of us.
You know, the ancient Indian writings talk about flying machines, Vermanas. I think, Stephen, that this planet had incredible technology that probably helped build the Great Pyramid that is just lost. I mean, something horrible happened where mankind had incredible technology. I mean, I think we had flying machines. We may have already been to the moon in past civilizations, but I'm convinced something very horrible happened here.
Oh, yeah, catastrophism, yes. I am also a catastrophist, And I do think that, obviously, I've dedicated my life to, excuse me, to understanding lost high technologies of in ancient times. So I agree with you fully that we had there was a high civilization on Earth with technologies that we don't have, and probably including medical, transportation, power sources,
yep,
certainly stone cutting and other things, but something happened and it's gone.
Maybe they nuked themselves. Who knows, huh?
I've heard that, and that's a possibility.
Yep.
Something happened. Some sort of a political or war, environmental, extraterrestrial event occurred and really devastated the civilization. They say a higher a civilization is, the higher their technology, the more fragile it is. So so we'll see, you know, because we all rely on electricity and that type of thing. And, you know, we'll see.
In our
lifetimes, we will experience a catastrophe like that.
I've been championing that we should insulate our power grid against an EMP attack or a solar flare from the sun, because you're right. When the power goes in, everything is based on power here in our civilization. We're up a creek. They're estimating 90% of Americans would be dead within a year if the power's out for that
long. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
People now are quite smart, but I don't know. Well, I actually live in a small town, but very few people comparatively know how to skin a rabbit. They don't know how to hunt a deer without a gun. You know what I'm trying to say?
Oh yeah,
so
absolutely.
If our infrastructure failed for some reason, then it would be a difficult situation.
No pumping water. So, well, you know, water's pumped to your house through electricity. You know, it's not that you just turn on the spigot and it's there. Something's pumping it to your house.
Right. They pump water up to those large water tanks, you know, that you see across the Midwest. And it's incredible. So we'll see. I hope we don't see any massive catastrophe, but I think the Earth has seen something like that in ages past.
What was, for the Great Pyramid, with your theory, so they're pulling water out of that small lake. They probably had a long tube or something like that. But what was the mechanism for the pumping? You were talking about the hydrogen created something, but what actually pumped the water to the pyramid and then out of the pyramid?
Okay. The passages cut into the bedrock worked similar to a hydraulic ram water pump, and that supplied water to the pyramid structure itself. So it's
okay.
Like two water pumps in series kind of superpowers the system. And then, like I say, hydrogen was used after combustion to create a powerful vacuum, lifting water up, and then the water would go back down into the queen's chamber, past some valves that are now gone, as much of the interior of the Great Pyramid has been damaged by the hands of man. But there were some valves and everything involved. And in the queen's chamber, the water that entered the queen's chamber would compress air in the upper part of the queen's chamber. And then ultimately, water would go from the queen's chamber, we think, through the floor of the queen's chamber up a passage into the floor of the king's chamber. Both of those chambers had damaged floors, and we think that they connected one to another. And then ultimately from the king's chamber and then up out the king's chamber vents. It's complicated, but we're making a second DVD documentary to visually represent, through computer-generated animations, all of the processes involved for this unique and fascinating water pump.
I love it. Let's go to Mike now, first-time caller in Los Angeles. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, Stephen.
Hi.
Great show as usual, George.
Thank you, sir.
Stephen, thank you so much for sharing your enlightened views on a favorite subject of mine, which is ancient Egypt. Two questions for you. One is with ancient Egyptians being, using hieroglyphs to document so much, why wouldn't they document the usage of the pyramid in this manner? And two, I've heard that the pyramids have been built to align with a lot of the stars.
Orion's belt,
I'm just
yeah.
curious if, if there's any coincidence with that. And I'll take my response offline. Thank you.
Okay, well, one reason why I think the ancient Egyptians didn't really write a lot about how the Great Pyramid was built or how it was used is possibly it was built by a previous civilization, pre-catastrophe.
Yes.
So they wouldn't write a lot about that. Also, there's no hieroglyphs, no formal writing inside the Great Pyramid, and the reason for that is it's a machine. There's no writing inside the cylinders of an automotive engine because that's not what they wanted. So that's my thought on the hieroglyphs. And then the other idea about the Orion's belt and all of that.
Robert Bovall's theory, right?
Yeah, there's an idea that there is some sort of correlations between the Great Pyramid and or pyramids on the Giza Plateau with the stars and stuff. Well, I'm not a proponent of that. I think that a lot of it is correlations, but they don't have causation. There's no corroborative evidence, especially specific to the Great Pyramids, that was intended, if you will. If you consider specifically the Great Pyramid, it doesn't seem to be a feature of it or evidence that indicated that they intended correlations, even though people, say that they at one time lined up with the stars or whatever. So I'm not a proponent of that idea.
Let's go to Don in Kent, Washington, west of the Rockies. Don, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Donald.
I don't know. This goes back so far. Can anyone estimate when this actually started?
Well, you didn't look at the time. But go ahead, Stephen.
Yes, everyone can estimate and give an idea of when the Great Pyramid was built, but you can spend your whole career, your whole life debating on dates and that type of thing, and nothing will ever be resolved. As same as with who built it. Let's say they found out Bob built it. Bob was the architect, and he funded the construction. Well, what does that really tell you? Who built it? What's really important is how it was used. How did it help people? That's the important thing about the Great Pyramid. If you get in a car wreck and the ambulance comes, you don't care who built it or where it was built or anything or that type of thing. You want the benefit of the ambulance. The original builders wanted the benefit of the Great Pyramid, and that's where the focus of my research, not when the Great Pyramid was built.
We've got Dan now in Waterloo, Iowa. It's his turn. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, George.
Very welcome. Thank you.
I was wondering if your guest could expand on, is it possible that the Egyptians came after, like the giants, and the giants actually built the pyramids? And how do you get a 70-ton slab of stone into a boat?
That's both good questions. The giants might have been around. Who knows? They may have helped contribute to building this, Stephen. We don't know, do we?
We don't know specifically. People, though, do consider giants because the stones were very heavy. And that's just what I call the big back muscle theory.
Right.
You need giants. But, again, 70-ton payloads were moved on the Erie Canal in the 1830s. So how the stones were quarried is a lost technology.
And then lift it up. How did they lift it up once they cut them?
Well, I think that they were put on, they were quarried on a platform that had
slots in it that barges could be moved underneath, and then they raised the level of the the area in the quarry where the stone, and then it would lift the barge, and the barge would lift the stone.
I want to know who the guy was who came up with this idea, Stephen. That's who we want to interview, don't we?
Oh, well, the original architect, yes. I would love to interview him. And
my gosh.
But he's not available.
No, but what a brain, huh?
Well, the only thing that can't be denied is that the Great Pyramid exists, and it's there, and it was actually built. The Orion correlation theory actually can't even address how the Great Pyramid was built. They just consider it a pre-existent artifact that has to be measured to divine information from. So that's a shortcoming of the Orion correlation theory.
I mean, if you could only imagine the initial meeting when the person came up with this idea and presented it to whomever he had to present it to.
Yes. Yeah. Could you imagine? And the leader, like all leaders, want results.
That's right.
You know, they don't want someone to analyze pot shards like an Egyptologist who will never make a casing stone. The biggest stones that Egyptologists move are those in their kidney. Somebody came up with this idea, and they probably had a mock-up and some models and everything, and the leader of the civilization said, yes, we want that infrastructure, and you can be the architect to build it. And it was probably built quickly and relatively cheaply.
Stephen, let's take just a quick moment to mention your websites, the campaign you've got going, and where people can get more information.
Yes, they can contact us through our website, which is at thepump.org. And we also have a phone number, which is 541-824-0032. They can call us 24 hours a day on our hotline to leave a message. Our email is info@thepump.org. And send us an email. You can like us on Facebook. And we even have a postal address that you can mail to. Our funding campaign right now is to acquire a 3D printer through crowdfunding.
How much is a 3D printer cost?
They're about $2,500.
Oh, that's not much. This audience alone should be able to get that done and take care of you. All that information, by the way, at coasttocoastam.com's link to his website, thepump.org. And for my most incredible staff, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.